this is the first time I preached from this pulpit in this building, as Brother Darren's already mentioned. Beautiful, great. I can see all of you. No sleeping. No slipping out. Of course, Brother Andrew, where'd he go? But anyhow, he's used up most of the time, so I'll get right into it. As most of you know, that at one time I pastored here. Now, I'm not going to get into the history. In fact, they have the history posted out here on this wall. When you go to the your mailbox and goes back toward the exit, you'll notice the history of the church. It started many years ago, and I'm not going to get into it. In fact, I had not planned on having a part of this wonderful time of celebration. But Darren Smith came and asked me if I wouldn't bring the morning message. I've known Darren for many years, for 35, 40 years. In fact, he was my song leader for a time, way back. He was young, unmarried, tall, slim, a head of hair, and a good voice. And he still has a good voice. And he also has something that he didn't have then that is wonderful. He's got a very attractive and a talented wife, Miss Gail, and so we're thankful for that. I also wanted to, before I got into the message, was I'd like to mention a couple of folks. Many of you had a part in my Christian life, whether I'd be here at this place or not. But there's two in particular that I want to bring or that came to mind. One I notice isn't here today. He generally is. But Brother Darrell Tolles and I got saved at a little church down in New Whiteland, Indiana. And Brother Darrell and I sort of grew up together as a Christian. He was a great inspiration. He and his wife, Pauline, of course, she passed on some almost 20 years ago now. But we had a lot in common. He has a daughter and two boys, and I have a daughter and two boys. And so we sort of grew up as a Christian together. And it was so wonderful when I came back from my mission trip down in Mississippi to see Brother Darren here, and or Darrell, Brother Darrell here. And he and I go fishing quite often, and we always have success. Our favorite fishing hole is Captain D's over in Greenwood. And then the other man that I'd like to recognize is Brother Bill and his family. Brother Bill was very important in the matter of not only the church that started in his home, and Brother Bill and his family's been with it ever since. But Brother Bill was a great deacon, an inspiration to me as a pastor, as a new pastor. He made me a better pastor because of his wonderful help. And so I wanted to recognize them. Then I want you to turn to the book of Psalms. Let's look first at chapter 143. And then while you're there, go ahead and look up chapter 90. They're not far apart. But I want to read one verse here in Psalm 143 and verse 5. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. And I want you to notice that word muse, M-U-S-E. It's only used three times in Scripture. The other two times it's spelled M-U-S-E-D, and the other M-U-S-I-N-G, musing. And I looked up in Mr. Webster's, and it says that muse means to ponder or to think deeply and long, or deep meditation. And that word has become, as I've grown older, very important to me. I have a lot of time to muse and a lot of things to muse about. One positive thing about growing old is you build up a lot of memories, a lot of things that you can use over and over again in your life. And so I want you to keep that in mind. Take some time to muse. Be quiet and know God is there. Think deeply about the things of God and about what God has done or can do in your life. And so I do a lot of musing. Sometimes I fall asleep musing. I blame that on old age. But as I mused about what could I say today that might be helpful to each one there, and it came into my mind that I could talk about two things, and I will try to hold it to two things. One is kinfolks, and the other is thieves. Kinfolks and thieves. Now, this will be helpful to everybody because we all have kinfolks, and we live among a bunch of thieves. In fact, I'm going to say, now you might want to challenge me, but I'm going to say that 99.9% of us in here are thieves. We're all kinfolks, whole 10, whole 100%. I better not get going too much on that. But first of all, I want to talk about kinfolks. I have a few kinfolks in here, some of them close, and all of you really are my kinfolks. If you know Jesus as your Savior, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We can be called a lot of things, but I think my favorite of all is to be called brother. Now, as a pastor, as Brother John would, he's got a lot of titles. You can call him preacher, you can call him reverend, you can call him doctor, or you can call him all kinds of things, I guess. But one of the great things is being called brother. Now we have many categories of kinfolks. Let me just name a few of them. Dad, mother, child, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, granddad, grandmother, cousin, nephew, father-in-law, mother-in-law, and son-in-law. And I'll stop there. Of that bunch, what one would you say is spoken of in a negative way more than any other. Well, that'd be mother-in-law, wouldn't it? Everybody makes jokes about mother-in-laws. Well, I'm not going to get into that because I'm married to one. I'm thankful for every one of my kin folks, and that includes you folks. And we're not only separated by title, but we're also separated by age. Now, I hope I'm not talking to folks that are very sensitive about their age, but there's 10 groups that are sort of separated by age. Younger are babies, are about 0 and 2 years. Youngsters, about 3 and 6. Kids, about 7 and 12. Teens, about 13 and 19. Young folks, 20 to 35. Adults, 36 to 50. Middle age, 51 to 59. Elders, about 60 to 69. Old folks, 70 to 79. Ancient, 80 and up. That's when you come to the end of the line. And if you'll turn now in your Bibles back over to Psalm 90, we're going to look at verse 9 through 14. For our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And so I want to give some thought to, first of all, old folks. I'm in the ancient group. I turned 86 this year, and I've been pretty much retired from the preaching ministry. It's been mostly just one-on-one, and so it's quite a difference. I feel almost like a youngster up here preaching to a group, and so in the meantime, and my tale is almost told, verse 9. I have a story that's now 86 years. I don't have time to tell that story, and if I were to take the time to tell, most of you, unless you're at least 75 years or better, wouldn't understand it. Because there's been so much change in our world in these last 80 years. Unless you are a fan of the Little House on the Prairie or the Waltons, you wouldn't know what I was talking about, school with one teacher and 8 grades. But yet all my elementary, as they call it today, my first 8 years of school, that's where I went. So we'll not get into that. But as we get older, we change. So we need to number our days, make them worthwhile. We need to use our life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you get up in the ages here, 70, that's 70. That's a pretty good age, isn't it? But if you happen to live beyond that, 40 years, your strength is labor and sorrow. You change. When I became 80+, I began to have health problems that I'd never had before. It made a change in my life, in what I could do and how I approach things. And several years now, I come down with what they call a CKD, a chronic kidney disease. And it's affected my body and also my mind to some degree. My mind works okay, and my body works okay, and my mouth works okay, but to get them all together to work in, on the same frequency sometimes. When the doctor tells you, do we have any doctors in the house? No? Okay. I'm not going to say anything bad about doctors, but in fact, I think they're very needful. I got a bunch of them, and when they tell you you got chronic something or other, basically what they're saying, just live with it. There's nothing you can do. You're not necessarily going to die from it, but you're going to die with it. And so, usually then they'll, I noticed the one young lady was going to be a nurse. And so they do help. I'm glad for nurses and doctors. But basically, if you go to a dietitian, which I had to go to, you can't eat much potassium particularly. And generally, if you want to put it in easy understood words, they tell you don't eat anything that's good and don't do anything that you enjoy. But whatever, we get by with it. It verse 14 here in verse 90 says, O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. And I find that musing gives gladness, and I can rejoice through the bad times and through the good times. And so we need to use our time as kinfolks. We all are kinfolks, by the way. As you study the book of Genesis, I'm amazed at what God did in the creation. Sure, Adam and Eve goofed up a little bit, didn't they? And I mentioned, I have my baby brother, he's only 83, and his wife was over a couple of days ago. I think it was Thursday. And I don't know, I mentioned something about Adam and Eve messing up. And Kathy, that's my brother's wife, she looked up at me and said, well, don't blame them too much. We would probably do the same thing. And that's true. We can't badmouth them too much, could we? Because many of us, or all of us, probably, without the help of God, would do the same thing. And so I want to encourage you this morning about two things in particular on this anniversary time. We need to be conscious of the work of the church and the pastor. We can be the kind of the kind of Christians that God wants us to be if we'll only use those two things that God has given us in order to help our lives as well as the people around us. In the church, worship helps us to grow and to learn and practice the presence of God. Instruction, where we learn about the spiritual truths. Fellowship that strengthens and encourages us. And of course, service. Our lives can be made useful to God in the things that needs to be done. And then the pastor. I have to be careful about what I say about the pastor. He's not only a kinfolk, but he happens to be a son-in-law. So if I say anything negative about him, I have to answer to my daughter. And she has a little bit of a mean streak. Came from her mother's side of the family. But anyhow, we should be thankful for our pastor. 25 years is far above the average of a pastor staying at one place. So you're very fortunate to have Pastor John. And what has Pastor John given to us? First, he's given his time, day and night. Did you realize just figuring three times a week, 50 weeks, that over a 25-year period, he's preached 3,750 times. That many messages, you folks, if you've been here all that time, have heard him preach. He's not only given his time, but he's given his talent. Pastor John has a great talent in teaching. He can make the Bible seem easy to understand. That's what teaching is. He's a pretty good preacher. He's a good singer. He doesn't sing much like he used to. His throat has given out a little bit. He better not give out completely because I've got him lined up for my funeral. And I've given him not only an outline to preach, but I've asked him to sing a special song. And I think his daughter his wife sometimes might join in with him. And the title of the song, I believe, is God Did a Wonderful Thing for Me. And he sure has. Boy, has he. And so he's given his talents. He's also given his tears, not only time and talent, but tears. Tears of joy, tears of thankfulness, tears of sadness. Tears of frustration, maybe even tears of failure, or in his eyes. if you want to, if you want to hurt your pastor, just fail to heed his instructions. It'll break his heart. What do we owe our pastor? Well, we owe him our love. Take him to heart. Think serious about him. We owe him our loyalty. We need to stand up for him. We owe him our long suffering. Be patient with him. You're not always going to agree with him. Be patient with him. And then I added on there, not only love, loyalty, and long-suffering, but I couldn't think of any other word. I put lunch. That means we need to meet his need, his everyday need. We need to support the church. We need to support our pastor. And so that takes care of the kin folks. Now, I want to talk to you about us thieves. You notice I use the us on that. I count myself in that group. I want you to turn with me over to the book of Luke. Chapter 23. And I want to read first verse 33. And when they come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, that malefactors is a thief, has to do with someone that's done evil things. In the book of Matthew, it's called thieves. One on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors or thieves, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto him, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And so we find here the story of the thieves on the cross. One on the right hand, one on the left hand. They were guilty of thievery. Now, I don't know what they stole, but thievery can cover a large area of our lives. It could be something material, but it can go beyond there. I'm guilty of depriving God 35 years of my life. It was 51 years ago that Brother Toles and I miss him not being here, come to know Christ as our Savior in that little church. 35 years that God could have used me in some way that I took away from him. It was that long before I realized that I needed his help. Now, I was raised and we respected the Bible. We respected the church. But never would come a time that I had seen myself as guilty before God Almighty and asked for help. And so I missed out, but also God missed out. It must have broken his heart, giving his son for me and for you. And I stole 35 years that I could have been useful for the cause of Christ. Maybe you're not. Maybe you got saved at an early age, and thank goodness that you did. But I ignored my need. I ignored, and we need to realize, without Christ, we're thieves. We take something away from God Almighty. Now you can. Young people, you can steal happiness from your family, but not doing the things that, not doing the things that they've raised you to do. Mom and Dad, maybe you've not given the time to God that you are. Maybe you old timers have not given God what little strength that you do have. And so we're guilty sometimes of stealing happiness from somebody. We men are no doubt guilty of stealing happiness from our wives. We can even steal a reputation by using bad words about somebody that are not true, or that we not know this is not true. We can steal time. We can steal dignity. We can steal self-respect. And on we can go. But it can all be cured if you'll only come to Christ. I don't know what these thieves did. One was on the right hand, one is on the left hand. Now that's just a location. I don't know which one of those. You can ask Pastor John sometime which one it was. But I do know one got right with God. And when they left that cross, one went to heaven and one went to hell. Now look, folks, you're going to fellowship with one of those thieves. Every one of us in here are going to fellowship with one of those thieves. Now the question is, which one are you going to fellowship with? I'm going to fellowship with the one that called out to God that got right with God. And that's what you need to seriously think about this morning, and that is being right with God. I'm thankful for the freedoms that we have, but the greatest thing that I've ever done in my life was to give my life to Jesus Christ. I still was a thief. I'm sure I was guilty many times since, but I was saved. I was right with God. And so I would encourage you this morning. I'm going to have Brother Andrew come in just a few moments, and we're going to have an invitation. I would ask you to seriously to muse about it, only to do it quickly. To muse about what is my condition before a holy God. And if it's not right, why don't you do what that one thief did? You know what he did? He confessed he's a sinner. One of them was mocking the Lord Jesus Christ. This fellow said, "We're just getting what we deserve." In other words, he's saying, "I'm a sinner." Then he saw the Lord Jesus Christ for who he was. He said, "Lord." You know what Lord means? That means master. That means helper. That means the one that we can depend on. And then he asked for help. "Lord, remember me when thou come into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shall thou be within in paradise." 51 years, my day is coming. You know, we didn't read it, but there in Psalm 70, it says 1,000 years as is as yesterday for mankind. My day is in man's eyes is a long time. 51 years. To this sinner, to this thief, is that today was today. It was soon. After what we read, if you tie all of them together, the soldiers were going to come and break their legs so that they'd die sooner. So their days was really today. For me, today is still today, but it's 51 years so far and counting. Now, I don't know what your day is, but I hope it's the day that you go to be with Jesus in paradise. If you've never made that decision, if you've not seen yourself as a sinner and seen Jesus as the Lord and ask for him to help you, then you need to do that today. Today. Could we have bowed? Andrew, come.